Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not listening to this podcast, be sure to check out one of our others, like this one, The Grave Talks. Every week, I talk with individuals who've been affected quite intimately and personally by the supernatural. We hear their stories one-on-one in our conversations. In fact, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's 2 new episodes of The Grave Talks. And if you like it, just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe. Today on The Grave Talks, Ghost Huntress, a conversation with Sherry DiBenedetti. It all started with innocent creaks and cracks in the floorboards of her old childhood home late at night. Sherry DiBenedetti knew that something was happening in and around her, but she didn't fully understand what or even know what paranormal meant. Eventually, these experiences would escalate to such an extreme that it was undeniable that she was experiencing a haunting. A haunting that would eventually lead her on a lifelong journey to find answers and to help others who have found themselves paranormally affected. Today, we hear her story on The Grave Talks.
You know, like when you're young, you're always thinking about monsters and things going on in your room and things in the closet. And you think you see things and hear things. So to me, when I was younger, I didn't really understand paranormal or ghosts or anything. I'm just, you know, you just kind of think of what is in my room? What's going on? Why are things moving? And so whether I knew or whether I thought that it was ghosts or just like fake monsters in my head. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of hard to kind of pinpoint exactly a time that I thought about ghosts. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to explain it, but.
Sure. But it sounds like things, but things were going on for you. It sounds like in your room.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, like I would see kind of like shadows. Mm-hmm. I would see things moving on them own. You think that you hear things, voices, and, you know, but you also question yourself of, was it me or am I just, I I'm not sure. And was I really having those things going on? I don't know, because now that I'm older and I kind of understand like EMFs and stuff, like, you know, so it's like, well, maybe, hey, it could have been that stuff going on, you know, you hallucinate because the electric magnetic fields, maybe that's what my problem was. So, you know, so I don't really know, what was going on when I was younger. I do know that I was experiencing things, but whether if it was real or not, I don't know.
Sure.
I guess, you know.
Yeah. And it's hard because so many times in childhood, everything is new. So if you start to experience something that's, you know, abnormal to you, it's really not, because everything is abnormal at that time if it's a new experience.
Right. You know, like, you know, children have all the the invisible people that they talk to, you know, and some actually do see people and some are just playing, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so So I don't really exactly know when I really started that whole process, but I do know, let me see, I'm trying to think of, you know, growing up, kind of probably when I moved out here mostly. So I moved from New York to Boston when I was about 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started, I guess, more of knowing, like, you know, I played with the Ouija board, of course, because who didn't? And so, you know, you kind of like get into things like that. And I think that's when I started like learning about ghosts and spirits and you know, but again, I still had these things going on, you know, these shadows, and you still hear people talking and things. And still, I tried to ignore it because, you know, I didn't understand it. And if it was a ghost or a spirit, well, that's something really scary to think about. So I kind of just always ignored everything. Mm-hmm. It was funny because, you know, I used to play with the Ouija board so much. Because I never really thought of it as being anything harmful or something. I mean, nothing ever happened when I was playing with it, but I played with it for a long time, and people used to always want to come over to the house because they always, you know, oh, you have a Ouija board, because, you know, nobody else's mother would allow a Ouija board in their house.
And that didn't raise a red flag to you? Like,
no, no. It was like, well, I have a game, let's play.
Yeah.
They used to always come over and we'd always have things happening. And it wasn't one of those, like, I never believed what the Ouija board actually said, because with my experiences, it would say things, but it's kind of like, okay, well, I was just thinking that. And then it would say it, you know, or the other person was just thinking it and it would say it. So it's like, okay, whatever. It seems like whatever we are thinking, that's what it's writing down. And it's not really giving us any other information. So I kind of ignored everything that it kind of said, but I always wanted things to move because I just thought it was the coolest thing to like see things moving without us touching it, you know? So I did that a lot. And, you know, like friends and family, they used to always come over. We used to always take out the Ouija board and did all of that stuff, but still in my head, it wasn't anything like weird. I don't know. It's just, again, it's so hard to explain, but anyway, so we, you know, I played with that for a while. Something did happen one night playing with it because my family's from New York. So a lot of them came out. Of course, we took out the Ouija board because they wanted to see things move. And and so one night I did, and there was I took a pencil, put it on the table in front of all of us. There's probably like 15 of us in this room. And so I'm like, all right, you know, make sure, you know, I want this pencil to move. I want everybody to see it because I had other things moving. But of course, there was always somebody in the room that was a skeptic, and that's fine. I don't care, you know. So I had to like prove to this person, like, you know, no, what we're doing is, you know, I don't understand it, but it happens. And so I put the pencil down and I said, okay, move this pencil so that everybody sees it and whatever. So the pencil took off and it whipped by one of my friends that was sitting on the ground, whipped by her face. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like that scared me. And I'm like, okay, that maybe it's gone too far. Cause like, who knows? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And also the same person was like, oh, somebody could have blown it. Well, it's like, no, how could they blow it that fast without somebody with actually you not seeing that person blow, you know? So sure. I'm like, fine. I took the pencil, put it back on the table. I said, please do not let it leave this table, but make it move so that everybody sees, but it cannot leave the table. And then all of a sudden it started spinning in circles, like faster and faster and faster. So then everybody saw it. Everybody was like, you know, screaming and yelling, you know? And so that's why I'm like, okay, thank you. Goodbye. So like, that was it. So I actually stopped playing with that for a very long time. Cause I'm like, all right, I don't know what the hell just happened. So, so that was my Ouija board story. So that's kind of when I really started to pay attention to, of the things that were going on. Mm-hmm. So when I did see the shadows and hearing things and all of that. I started to pay more attention, I guess, to it, but I really still didn't do anything because I was still, you know, like I was young. I didn't really know what was going on. And I didn't want it to consume my life. You know, I was just trying to still like have a normal life, but then just, you know, try to pay more attention to that stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't, you know, I don't know if it's harmful. I don't know what it is. And I still didn't understand. But anyway, so life went up. And then, and it wasn't until I was sort of like past college and went into this home that when we first moved in there, there was nothing going on, no activity whatsoever. And then midway, all of a sudden, all these crazy things started happening. And from like knocks and footsteps and voices and doors opening and closing and lights turning on and off, and just the feeling itself. And I specifically remember the feeling of the night that it actually happened, because I had a gym set up downstairs in the basement area. And I just remember like, you know, like working out. And then all of a sudden, the whole room energy completely changed. And I just kind of stood there, and it felt like some very big man was standing like right in front of me, like, you know, and it was a very, very scary feeling. And I just kind of stood there, and I remember like it was just really, really hard to breathe. And I looked up at one of the windows, and it was actually like a cat staring back at me, which I'm, you know, I've never seen before, but I don't even know whose neighbor cat it was. But so that even scared me. So I was like, all right. So I like went upstairs, shut the door, and I actually didn't go back to the basement for a very long time. But since that night, that's when all of these things started happening. And my mother had a ghost that she kept seeing, and she kind of described it as a Abe Lincoln type of thing, you know, with the hat, mm-hmm. beard, and, you know, this long coat on. And she always saw her entity, and we never saw it. So it was my father, my mother, my brother, and me, and we never saw it, but she always saw it. And then just one, it got so bad that I wouldn't even go into the house by myself. So I'd kind of like sit in the driveway and, you know, just wait for, you know, someone to come in, because I didn't want to go into the house by myself. Like that's the energy that whatever was in there was giving off. Mm-hmm. And one night, which is the main night where I started, what is the word?
I'm not sure.
I know. See, this is what happened when you're long-winded. It's like,
yeah, you know, I know. I get you. I'm the same way, but I can follow because my mind works the same way, so it works good.
Okay. So, but like, so the main night where everything started for me was like I came home from my boyfriend's house at the time. I came home and, you know, got ready for bed, and as soon as I got into bed, so as soon as my head hit the pillow, mm-hmm. something grabbed my ankles and held my ankles down. So I got up and, you know, to look what was on, like, cause I couldn't move my ankles. So I lifted my body up to like see what's there, and there's nothing there, but I can't move my ankles. And so then
paralysis, is that the word you're looking for? Like a partial paralysis that was going on?
Well, it was, I couldn't move my ankles, so I could move my feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was just like you feel something grab your ankles and pushing it down to the bed. So I can move the rest of my body and even my feet and toes, because I was trying to like get out of whatever the heck was going on.
Yeah.
So, and then when that happened, they grabbed my wrist and then pushed my wrist down to the bed. So then, you know, so the rest, so the, the middle of my body, you know, went down to the bed, mm-hmm. and I can still wiggle. So it wasn't like a paralysis of the body, because I was mm-hmm. like still trying to get out of this thing with my wrists and my ankles. And then, but I lifted my head up. And so when I was trying to yell down the hall for my parents, but then they put their hand over my mouth, which I like, I felt the fingers on my lips, you know, and then, so they put their hand over my mouth and then pushed my head down. So now I can't, you know, obviously I can't move and I'm still trying to like get out of it. So it wasn't like a paralysis thing. It was just, you felt yourself being held down.
Almost as if a human was doing it, but it's an unseen force that's doing it. Yeah.
Like I said, like I felt the fingers on my lips. Mm-hmm. It felt like hands grabbing my wrists and my ankles. Like it felt like hands. It wasn't like a pressure. It felt like somebody was actually doing it.
Sure.
And so as soon as that happened, a full body apparition of the guy that I just left, the boyfriend that I had, he appeared at the bottom of the bed.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So I was looking at him and for a split second, I was like, what are you doing? Like, you know, like in my head, I was just like, what is he doing here? I just left him. He's like 40 minutes away from me, but he's here in my room. Am I really in his room? Am I in, is he here? You know, like, cause I couldn't understand how is he here? You know? So after that, because I mean, it was everything. So the only light that was coming in was, you know, I mean the moonlight. So I could see like his whole outline was exactly him. The things that he was wearing was him, his hair, like he had like sweatpants and the sweatshirt that he always wears. And, you know, so like everything was him. And then he started coming over closer to me. And so he went to the side of the bed on my right and he kind of leaned over. And that's when I saw, like, I couldn't see his actual face. So the face looked like if you were like staring out at a midnight sky, like that distant black look, like that's what the face was. So there's nothing there. And, you know, and I have no idea how long he was actually staring or like, I just have no idea. To me, it didn't really seem that long, but probably maybe like a minute or two. And then he just kind of like leaned back up and then he started walking. And I remember like hearing the footsteps in the carpet. I remember like the, you know, like your inner thighs, like kind of like make a noise when you, when you walk. So he just kind of went out. And so my door is to the left of me. So the door opened and then he went out. And as soon as I saw that, I noticed that he didn't have anything from his knees down. There was nothing there. And then, so the door opened up by itself, closed by itself. And then once it closed, everything was lifted off of me. So for that night was, I mean, probably for like a year, I had all of my lights always on. The closet door was open because I always had to make sure I knew what was in the closet. You know, like I, the TV was blasting because I didn't want to hear, that noise again, the footsteps, in the carpet and stuff like that. So, So I was like nervous, you know, for a long time.
Well, I mean, essentially you went through a trauma there that night with that happening. So I have to ask then, that right when when this door shuts and he's gone, what the hell is going through your mind after this just happened? I mean, are you just, let's put the blankets over your head and fall asleep and pretend this didn't happen? Or what did you immediately do after that? Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe. Or visit thegravetalks.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.